For some time now, I have been looking back. I think when you cross some kind of an imaginary line and you begin to feel like you're getting or you've gotten old, you begin looking back. And I have begun looking back. I don't think that's revealing anything, just that I'm looking back. I'm not one of these people that says, oh, that must mean I'm going to die soon. No. I could, but I don't know. But when I look back, and this, I'm sure I've said this to you before, I've been a priest 38 years. And the most important part that I've come down to is that if I'm a disciple of Jesus, and this is kind of the progression that I use, I'm a Catholic. To be a Catholic to me, I'm a Catholic Christian. Because I always tell you guys, don't be fooled if somebody says to you, are you a Catholic or are you a Christian? That's like asking me if I'm a bald or I'm a man. Okay? Catholic is an adjective. It modifies the word Christian. I am a Catholic Christian. To be a Catholic Christian means to be a disciple of Jesus. And what is the definition of a disciple? A disciple is a student. I am a student of Jesus. If I am a student of Jesus, what is the course that I'm taking? And the course that I'm taking is how to be human the way that God intended us to be human. And what's the central part of being human? And the central part of being human is the ability to love and to be loved. That is the central fact, the central core of what it means to be a human being. If you don't have people who love you and people whom you love, you will be very lonely. We talked about that last week. And if you remember what I said to you, that in the Bible, at the beginning in Genesis, God says he creates this and it was good, and he creates that and it was good. And the first time that the Bible says something is not good is when God in the Bible says, it is not good for the man to be alone. And being alone doesn't necessarily mean being solo in a room. As I told you last week, it's not being connected to somebody who loves you. It's not being connected to people that you love. That connection has to exist, because in order for you to be yourself, in order for you to grow to be yourself, you have to love and to be loved. Now, today, I want to talk about that word, love. And I've talked to you before about it. But I want to periodically I repeat it, because my hunch is, another thing I've learned is that most of us really are very confused about what we mean by to love. And I think it's always important to be clear as to what it means. I'm a very analytical person. When I say to someone, I love you, I have something very specific in mind. I'm not talking about some general, hi, love ya, that kind of stuff. I'm talking about something very specific. So I'm going to explain to you what the best understanding I have when I use those words, when I use the word love. Because in English, we only have one word, love. And we use it for everything. Have you noticed that? We use it for everything. People say, I love chocolate. Do you? I mean, do you have a relationship with chocolate? And if you do, don't raise your hand. I don't want to know. Don't want to know. Guys say, I love my car. Do you? You kiss your car goodnight? I don't want to know if you have it. But notice how we use the word love. Turn on the radio. Everything's about love, 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 love. Turn on the TV set. Everybody's falling in and out. We say it all the time. What the hell does... That came out halfway. What the hell... What the hell does that mean? Okay? What does it mean? And so here's... I'd like to use four... I'd like to help you... And you may have heard this before, but it's good for you to hear it again. The Greeks, in Greek language, had four words for love. Now, I'm not going to use the Greek words, because I said these... at the 11 a.m. Mass, and they said, don't use the Greek words. You're going to confuse people. So I'm going to use their English equivalents. Here are the four different kinds of love. And if you want their Greek equivalents, I'll tell them to you after Mass. Number one, affection. Number two, friendship. Number three, romance. And number four, loving like God loves. God love. I'll just call it God love. Now, what's the kid who was a magician, the movie? Harry Potter. No, I got the wrong movie. No, Gollum. What movie was Gollum in? Lord of the Rings. I like Gollum. In the Lord of the Rings, and please, this is just sort of a comparison. So if I'm wrong on the details, don't raise your hand. But there are several rings, right? I think there are several rings of power. But there's one ring to rule them all. Is that correct? One ring to rule them all. And I would like to use that image to explain to you the four loves, but dividing them into the three rings of love and the one ring of love to rule them all. And here it is. So let's talk about the first three loves. Affection. Affection is a wonderful, wonderful, very wide love. You can have affection for anything or anyone. When I had a little dog, my dog's name was Beauregard. And Beauregard died about 5 years ago. He's buried on the property somewhere. Nobody knows where. It's only in my head. But Beauregard, I had a lot of affection for Beauregard. I have a lot of affection for people. Okay? I have a lot of affection for people. There are people that I genuinely enjoy being around. You can have affection for people. Parents have deep affection, love for their children. So it's not supposed to be just a lighthearted. Affection is the most general kind of love, but it can also be extremely deep, as in parent-child affection. Okay? Then the second kind of love is friendship. Now, I'm not talking about Facebook, okay? Folks, if you haven't gotten this, Facebook is not friendship. It's not friendship. I'm active in Facebook. If any of you have needs to, would like to friend me, I'll friend you back. Okay? But we are not friends. Okay? We're kind of friends, but not friends. I have affection for most of my parishioners. Most, not all. But I have affection for most of my parishioners. Okay? Friendship is deep. Friendship is deep. It's when you can trust yourself to another. When you can really, I don't think in people's lives, people normally have any more than maybe four or five friends. Right? If you're lucky, maybe a few more, but they take work. Friendship takes trust. Friendship takes work. Affection doesn't take trust. Friendship takes trust. Friendship takes work. And it takes communication. I was telling somebody this afternoon that if you have an intimate friend, the word intimate is not a sexual term. You know the word origin, the word intimate, it's in timor. The word timid means fear. Whenever you are intimate, you are in fear. In other words, you're letting someone inside the wall of your fears. They can really hurt you. They are your friends. Any of you who have been betrayed by a friend know the pain of that betrayal. This is not just affection. That is the second kind of love. But it's really interesting because even when we're thinking about affection and you want to say, you don't go to anybody else and go, I am affection for you. I affection you. You say, I love you. And when you're my friend, you also say, I love you. But notice, they're totally different. But we use the same word. Then the third kind of love is romance. That's when we use the term fall. Which I get the biggest, I think it's the most ironical kick out of it. Ironical kick because notice how it is so much about your feelings that we don't even use a very active verb. Have you ever noticed that we don't say, I walked into love with you? Okay, or we could be a little more enthusiastic, okay? I ran into love with you. Or how about if I look deeply in your eyes and say, I jumped into love with you. No, I fell. I'm so sorry. I fell. I didn't mean to. I fell. You'd be amazed how many people I've had in my office over 38 years of priesthood saying stuff like, Father, I didn't mean to fall in love with my secretary. Why did God put her there? I didn't mean to. I fell. So sorry. Notice, why are we talking like that? We're talking like that because we're talking about our feelings. And when you're talking about your feelings, you really do fall. There's not a single person anywhere that can get up in the morning and say, today I choose to feel XYZ. You don't. You can't choose how you feel. You just feel. You fall into it. That's why we talk about falling into a depression. It's not something you choose. Okay? Or hopeful. Or excited. You can't. You fall. And so, the word romantic love is then a very intense form of love that includes sexuality. And it includes an attraction to another person physically. Now, I want you to understand that these three kinds of love can exist separately and in combination with each other in different relationships. And it's almost like at different strengths. You could have a romance, a white hot romance that has a little bit of affection and maybe a little bit of friendship. I know people who are white hot in love with each other, but they're not friends. I'm in love with you, but I don't want to hang out with you. They're not friends. And so the combination can exist in all kinds of different places. Now you notice I've gone through three. Those are the three rings of love. Okay? The three rings of love. Now, the one ring to rule them all. And that is the God love. I'll use the Greek word, agape. Agape. It means to love like the gods love. Now, here's the situation. Jesus in the gospel today begins by saying, I give you a new commandment. Love one another, but he doesn't leave it there. He says, as I have loved you. Notice the definition. Jesus is saying, I'm not giving you the word love, and you can do whatever the heck you want with it. I'm giving you a definition. And remember whom we understand Jesus to be. We understand that that man is God showing us how to be human. It's like God looked down on humankind and said, man, you all have screwed it up royally. You remember that old saying? If you want something right, done right, do it yourself. And so it was God who said, let me show you. Let me show you what I had intended when I created y'all. He was from the South. Let me show you what I had in mind when I created y'all. And so he becomes one of us. And he is showing us the way he loves us, what God love is like. He doesn't love us like the Greek. He doesn't love us like the Roman gods love us, which is fairly, I like you if you give me good gifts. You sacrifice something good to me. You sacrifice something good to me, I give you love. He is redefining God love. And so he's saying to us, love one another as I have loved you. Now, that is the ring to control the other three rings. Now, let's use examples. I want to imagine... This is bad. Huh? No, okay, I'll try it again. I'll keep trying. I want to imagine affection without God love. Let me give you an imaginary situation. I want you to imagine a mother who has deep affection for her son. Very deep affection. She loves him. And she lives almost for him. He is the center of her life. So much is he the center of her life that the son, whenever he tries to date anybody, no one is ever good enough for mom's boy. No one's ever good. And so mom finds a way to make sure that no girl ever takes my son away. That becomes a possessive love. And instead of becoming angelic, it becomes demonic. Because then what you have is a person trying to, and I'm going to use a loaded word, a person trying to possess another person. That is affection without God love. What do you have if you were to control affection with the ring of God love? It would look something like this. Let's take the same mother. Exactly the same mother. And she knows that her son is the center of her life. She has given everything to him. She knows that when he leaves her home and marries, that it will tear her heart out. But when her son meets a girl that he wants to marry, the mother turns to God first. That's the God love. And at first she experiences the pain that she's imagining when he leaves. And the pain of having another woman enter into his life. But then she knows that that's what God wants for him. She knows that God wants him to start his own family. And as much as she doesn't like the hurt and the pain, which she tries not to show, she lets him go and allows the relationship to change and tries to bring her daughter-in-law into the relationship. And she does it because the God love ring is controlling the affection. If the God love ring is not controlling the affection will turn into possession. What about friendship? What about friendship? Imagine that you have a friend who's an alcoholic. And you're out with him and you know he's getting more drunk than he should be. And he wants to drive a car. And because you're his friend, and this is no God love here, you say, "Hey man, you sure? Yeah, I can do this. Come on, you're my friend. Come on." And you say, "Okay." And you get in the car, you don't want to make him angry, because he's your friend. And friends, support each other. And that friend and you go out and kill someone or kill yourselves. That's friendship love with no reference to God. It does what your friend wants you to, simply to maintain the friendship. Because, hey, you're buddies. You can do this. We stand up for each other. What would friendship love look like if it were controlled by the ring of God's love? It would say, you're loaded, man. You're loaded. And you're not driving. And your friend could cuss you out. And your friend would even fight with you. And you would put what is good for him in God's eyes above pleasing your friend. Why? Because you want for your friend what God wants for your friend. And your friendship is controlled not by what your friend wants, but what you understand God wants for your friend. The God love ring is controlling friendship. And go on to romance. Go on to romance. I'll never forget a long time ago, a guy brought a girl into my office. They weren't married. They were just a boyfriend, girlfriend. And this guy wanted me to talk to his girlfriend because she was refusing to have sex with him outside of marriage. When I said, do you know who you're talking to? Do you know who you're talking to? I said, you are asking me, you brought your girlfriend here to get me to help her to commit fornication. Is that correct? And the guy's jaw just... And I have never felt like physically throwing someone out of my office as much as I did that day. And I said the opposite. I looked at the girl and I said, this man does not love you. This man does not love you. Because if this man loved you, see, his definition of love was, I love you. I want to give myself to you. I want you to be giving yourself to me in the beauty of our physical embrace. Bullshit. I said, this man does not love you. You know why? Because he doesn't care about your whole life. If this man loved you, he would be asking, what does God really want for this girl? And he would be doing anything he could to make you the kind of woman that God wants you to be. And he would do everything he could. Yes, he would like to have sex with you. Guys normally do. Okay. But you do it the right way. I want to marry you. I want to have a life with you. And I'm not willing to allow my sexual desires to overpower my love that I am united in being a reflection of what God wants for you. What God wants for you is first. My urges come second, third, or fourth. I am willing to do whatever is necessary to be a reflection of what God wants for you. That's love. That's love. And I turned to her and I said, run. Don't just walk out of the office. I'll keep the dude here. Run. This dude doesn't love you. He doesn't love you. Do you see We've taken the three rings of love, and you can see what they look like when they're uncontrolled by the God ring. When they're uncontrolled by the God ring, they make themselves demons. When they are controlled by the God ring, they are angels of God's love, and they make you happy. Why do you think Jesus was saying, I'm telling you this so that you may share in my joy? Share in my joy. And why? Because this is the way God created us. So, three rings, but one ring to rule them all. Okay? The ring of affection, the ring of friendship, the ring of romance. But the one ring that rules them all is when you make the decision to unite yourself with God in caring for the person that you care about, no matter how you feel. And you know who taught us that? That dude right there. Because that when he died, when he was hanging on the cross, and we know he loved us when he was hanging on the cross, I don't think he was in love with us. I don't think he had affection. I don't think he even was friends with us then. At that moment, he looks up at his Father. He doesn't even forgive us. You know, he forgives us, but he doesn't forgive us directly. Notice he doesn't say, I forgive you. You notice what he does? He looks up to his Father and he says, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. He connected with God in caring about us. He himself used God's love to govern his desire to whack us, to condemn us, to do what we would have deserved. He's the one who taught us. That's why I'm his disciple. I'm his student. I want to be human like that. That's the way I want to be human. And I'm not there, and neither are you. But that's the way that you should love. Okay, I have no end. That's it.